All right. Well, clearly there's been a lot of opposition to Governor Whitmer's emergency orders here in Michigan. Congressman Paul Mitchell says he thinks it's downright unconstitutional, so he's filed a federal lawsuit against the Whitmer administration. He's online with us right now. Congressman, good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. What was the breaking point for you? What made you decide to file this federal lawsuit?
Well, I think first I need to stress that I filed it as a private citizen, not under some superpowers as a congressman. It was the same power, same concerns that any citizen of the state has, that I felt as of last week that we need to get some definition of what is an emergency and some balance between the powers of the state to regulate our lives and our individual rights. I think we moved beyond a public health crisis, an emergency, to something, a public health concern we're going to have to deal with it for an extended period of time, which means that our elected leaders ought to be engaged in that, our state legislature and others, to determine what do we do going forward in terms of our economy and our society so that we can move forward with our lives. I think we need to protect people that are at risk, and there are groups that are at risk, particularly older folks and folks with a variety of pre-existing conditions. They can be at much greater risk. But the Emergency Powers Act, as the governors move forward, I believe is unconstitutional, and the governors move forward that she has a dial of powers that she can dial up or dial back depending upon what she views as the current health concern that given week or any given period. And that's, I don't believe, was intended by even the 1945 law, certainly allowable by our Constitution.
I guess that's the crux of this argument, Congressman, is what is an emergency, because the governor is continuing to say we are in a public health crisis. You say we are not in a public health crisis.
Well, the original orders were based upon what we've all heard how many times, Paul, is flattening the curve to avoid overwhelming our health care system when we had relatively little knowledge of the COVID-19, we had little knowledge of its impact. I saw data as recently as yesterday that admissions for COVID-19 into the hospital are down dramatically across the state and in our region as well. I mean, by dramatically, they've been down 10 or 12 days in a row and down meaningfully. And number of people in ICU for that are also down meaningfully. And we also know how this impacts people. We know how the virus is transmitted, so let's manage that. Let's put out information to people about how they manage transmission of the virus, how businesses move forward to minimize risk. It's a virus, and Dr. Khaldun, who works for the state, said yesterday, and Dr. Fauci, who's at the federal level, both said this could last a couple of years. So you move beyond saying emergency is something you've got to deal with now and they expect to be over and address. And a couple-year issue is a public health policy issue we need to deal with on a long-term basis. And that should not be done by one person alone, frankly.
Well, there are plans to reopen Michigan. It's not going to happen today, but in the next several days and weeks, you're going to see some things begin to return, including the stay-at-home order, which is at this point scheduled to expire in the middle of the month of May. Bars and restaurants are ordered closed through the end of May. Are you saying it's not soon enough? We need to just get everything open today right away?
I'm saying we two things, one of which is we need to provide guidance and flexibility for businesses to begin to make a decision how they open and keep people safe, their employees and their customers. And I'm saying the other thing is that the, as I said, even as recently as yesterday, the governor described her powers as a dial, that she could choose to ratchet up to tighter or to loosen, depending upon how she assesses the circumstance at any point in time. So while we may decide to open things up somewhat in the middle of the month, we could decide at the end of the month or in July or August or September to tighten it back up again. That, I don't believe, is a constitutional exercise of power in our republic, either the state or nationally. I think it violates our Constitution. It violates individual rights.
I guess what makes this complicated, Congressman, is that the virus itself, it's great that the number of cases are down. That's probably because we have taken such draconian measures here in Michigan to keep people at home, to close schools, to keep people away from each other. Isn't there a concern, though, that if we get everybody back out into society and reopen things, that we will see an increase in the numbers of COVID-19?
Well, I think when people have this, they're assuming it goes back to business as usual. And I don't think we have I think the mentality exists any longer. I think business, how we go back will be different. I think you'll see people social distancing more in stores and in restaurants. I think you'll see people that will continue to wear masks in crowded public places. I think you'll see more sanitizing of public places and of workplaces than you've seen in the past. I think there's far more sensitivity to it, and we need to as policymakers, the governor and others need to encourage that, to provide assistance to businesses, guidance to folks. This is what we need to do. These are the types of things we need to do to keep our workplaces and our business places safe. These are things you need to protect your family. We need to focus again on those that are at the greatest risk. And those places, frankly, are areas like nursing homes and with seniors, especially seniors that have the majority of people that have passed away. The last data I saw, Paul, they were 74, and they had a couple of pre-existing significant health conditions when they contracted COVID. So we need to pay attention to how we minimize exposure for those folks and others, but especially those folks, because they are at most risk of, if they do contract COVID-19, of passing away. And that's simply not an acceptable outcome. But I don't think we're going to go back to business as usual as it was in the past. I think we're going to have a new normal. And we need to start to put that new normal in place, because we can't live with variations of this ratcheting up, ratcheting down for the next 2 years, next year. That's simply not a workable environment, both in terms of the economic health of families, our governments, and frankly, the mental health of citizens in the state. They need to move forward with their lives.
As the private citizen that filed this lawsuit, not as a congressman, but as Paul Mitchell, resident of Michigan, do you feel like the governor and the legislature can cohabitate now? Because there's an awful rift between the two branches of government in Michigan right now. Do you think that they can cohesively do those things that you say needs to be done to bring a new normal into play here in Michigan?
They should have. They should have early on. I think, to be honest with you, I think the legislature tried. I wasn't in the discussion, so I can't tell you what transpired in them. I did have a number of conversations with governors, several individually, one-on-one with the governor about these issues. The last one about 10 days ago. And I at this point in time, came to the clear belief that the governor has decided that she has more knowledge than most on this, is and should and will decide what's best for all of us. And I'm not sure that's what we bargained for in our Constitution, either our state Constitution or the United States Constitution. So any governor can move forward with, we call Paul back, 6 years ago now. I engaged against Proposal 1, the ballot proposal that increased sales taxes by $2 billion, because I felt it was a special interest deal, that all special interests were getting a hunk of our sales tax in order on some allegation they were going to fix the roads. And that was a Republican governor. And I opposed that very aggressively, pretty assertively. And we defeated that ballot proposal. If I think something is fundamentally wrong, I'm going to passionately oppose it, because I think that's something that any citizen in the state should do. It's not something I just kind of look around and say, what can I stir the pot on today? This is fundamentally going the wrong direction. The continuation of this under the Emergency Powers Act, that 1945 law, is wrong. I think the law is unconstitutional. I think the way the governor is applying it is unconstitutional. And I will pursue this legally in the federal court, and if need be, pursue it in the appeals court in Cincinnati, because we need to get this one resolved.
It may take some time, though. I mean, we may be well beyond the current stay-at-home orders and everything else before this gets resolved. But on principle, you want to see this through, don't you?
Well, we're going to file for an emergency hearing and an injunctive relief to see if we can have, frankly, move forward on that level. I anticipate filing that in the foreseeable future. I can't tell exactly when. They're working legal folks. It will not happen overnight, but I'm hoping to get some relief from it. And more importantly, the virus is going to stay around for a while. And given that, we need to resolve how it is we address this policy issue. Emergency powers versus legislature working with the governor in terms of how it is we move forward with our in dealing with this and continuing life in the state simultaneously. It is simultaneous. We cannot sit here for an extended period of time and hope that the virus somehow is magically eradicated, because the data should tell us. You looked at some data from New York yesterday that they're tracking the virus came into New York from multiple people that traveled overseas, people that traveled across the country into New York. And that's why it had a particular challenge in New York City. Now, we long-term, we cannot keep people isolated to avoid that coming back. What we have to do is get some therapeutic drugs, antibody treatment for COVID-19, and that is still going to take some time. In the interim, we have to manage this as well as we can.
I'll ask you to put on your congressional hat for a moment, Congressman. What do you think of the federal response thus far, and what needs to be done next? What can Congress do to make that happen?
Well, I think the next thing we're going to look at is, do we need to provide some support for municipalities, for counties, townships, cities, small cities that have had both revenue hits and their costs for particularly first responders have gone up because of dealing with this. My oldest son, as we've talked about before, is a police officer, and his jurisdiction has made a decision, as did Oakland County and a variety of places, to go with a hazard pay for their police, fire, EMTs. Their costs have gone up meaningfully in terms of paying them. It's what they could do because they still had to have those folks on the street. They still had to be performing their job, even given the additional and unknown health risk. So we need to help municipalities with those costs because they're real. And unfortunately, we put $1 trillion in what's called the CARES Act, for almost $1 trillion between the various things we put in there, to go to states, to municipalities, some of the states and municipalities. And in most cases, the states have retained that money, saying that they had costs and didn't pass it through. And the intent was to have money pass through. So we're going to have to send money directly to cities like Port Huron. They have a sales, they have income tax. Mm-hmm. Their income tax has been impacted. Their costs for their first responders are up, yet they take a real pounding on tax revenues in Port Huron and other areas of the district. So I think we'll look at that and try to at least reduce the impact of that.
Congressman, we appreciate you joining us this morning. Thank you for your time, and stay safe. Be well, and we'll talk again real soon.
You stay well too, Paul, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. 1380 WPHM in Port Huron, Congressman Paul Mitchell. That's a good segue into our next guest, who we'll be talking to in about 10 or 15 minutes, and that is the Port Huron City Manager, James Freed. We'll talk about some of the budget issues facing the city right now, and some perhaps staff reductions as a result of that. 23 past 7 o'clock.